IATSE Local 891 presents Apple Box Talks,
the podcast where we get to talk to the very best in entertainment, the artists and technicians of 891.
From prep to post and everything in between, we create worlds on screens of all sizes.
Welcome to Apple Box Talks. I'm Phil.
And I'm Crystal. And this week we explore the people who make the money flow with credits to their names such as Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, X-Men Last Stand, Walking Tall, and The Incredible Hulk. Also currently giving back to the union as our senior steward.
Pulling up an Apple Box this week is Amanda Brunswick. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
Hi, Amanda.
So let's talk about many, many, many years ago when you were just somebody who watched TV and went to the movies.
Yes.
Did you ever anticipate that you would have a career in film?
Never.
How did you start that all off? How did that happen?
So when I was a child living in Newfoundland, I used to have to save up my time to watch TV, and every Sunday I would have an hour's worth, and I would be wanting to watch Beachcombers and
Disney?
Danger Bay.
Oh, Danger Bay. Okay.
Danger Bay. And I knew that I had family that lived in British Columbia. And I was so jealous. And when we finally moved across the country, I was like, okay, now let's check this out.
Did you ever get to meet Bruno Gerussi?
No, I bet you did.
I did. I've actually been in his house.
What?
So, but you did spend time on the island and not up in the Sunshine Coast, though, right?
No, okay. On the Vancouver Island.
Right. So you come from a background. Do you have school in accounting, or is that your...
Yes. Yeah, so when I finished high school, I went and took nursing and accounting at the same time. My plan was to work at a nursing home and move into accounting.
So you could take care of people and bill them.
That is correct.
So you got interested in the film industry. You had transferable skills. You were a single mom. Tell us about how that shaped you getting into the department.
I got into a car accident, and because I was a single mom, my son was rather young at the time. I was like, okay, I'm just going to take some time off. One of my professors sent my resume off to a bunch of different companies. I got a phone call back then. It was called TVD, which is now EP Canada. They offered me a position that was 4 days a week. And I was like, that's kind of like part-time. So I took the job. They were a fantastic company to work for. They even set me up at home. So at nighttime, I could pick my child up from daycare, go home, put them to bed, bathe them, and then I could work from home at nighttime.
So they made accommodation for you and worked around your schedule? That's fantastic.
Yeah, 23 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, it was amazing, actually. It was a great company to work for. I was doing payroll, crew payroll over there, and the industry was booming. I guess you say got poached. I remember walking into Cheryl Nax's office with my resignation paper, and she refused to take it.
So what was the first show that you got your foot in the door?
The first show actually is just over there, just up the street from the Union Hall. It was Together, which is a child movie singing show. It was fantastic, actually.
Were you doing payroll?
I was doing payroll.
So you got the smiles every Thursday when you'd walk on set with the paychecks.
Every Thursday you walk down those stairs with that box of payroll checks. They wanted to see you.
Yeah.
And that's unusual, actually, to start in accounting right in payroll, but you already had that skill set.
That is correct.
So someone just starting out in accounting, what kind of skills do they need to get in to become a permittee?
This is where I say is a little different than our application, because whoever's working in accounting needs to be detailed minded, goal orientated. They need to have good computer skills, good communication skills. And for the most part, everything else you can learn on the job. I know they say on our application that you need a 1 year accounting experience, but I will tell you that film accounting is not the same as real world accounting.
In what sense?
We don't do ledgers and all of that in film. It's a lot of data entry. We do cost reports, but that's not a normal position for a clerk or who would be starting off in the industry. So you can learn the skills on the shows that you're working on. There's a lot of great members who have been around for a long time, and it's easy to learn the skills if you have the right attitude and the people that are mentoring you.
So the mentor relationship is really important.
Absolutely.
So I think you missed out on two of the skills that I identify when I work with when I've worked with accountants in the past that are stellar. The best ones all have a thick skin and incredible patience.
Patience is a virtue. You really do need to have patience. You never know what's going to happen when you're paying people. Their personal feelings come out. You don't know what they're going through in their personal lives. You don't understand why they need that check. You could make or break their day, their weekend. Yeah, it's very important to have patience with the crew members.
I was just going to say that skill absolutely relates to the job you're doing now.
It does.
And the same thing with this thick skin.
Yes. I was just on a call with a member the other day, and I had the president on the call because I knew it was going to be not the greatest call. Our member was rather upset. You know, they get, when it comes to their personal work, they're very involved. They take it, you know, we all take pride in our work.
So let's just back up a little bit here, because what is your job now?
I am currently the senior steward for IATSE Local 891.
And what does the senior steward do?
The senior steward enforces the collective agreement. We help members get to work. We deal with labor relations, safety. We try to, you know, give them the resources they need and provide them all of the different benefits the union offers, but we are normally their first person. So whether they're sad, happy, mad, we're their first person of contact. Yeah.
So you don't just step into a role like senior steward. So tell us about the journey. So you had quite a few years in accounting. You had to take probably many courses. You have to know the collective agreement inside out. What was your transition from accounting to the steward's office to being the treasurer?
I first started off being the co-chair for the accounting department. So I sat on the e-com for several years.
What's the e-com?
The executive committee meeting, which is representatives of each of the 19 departments that sit. They meet monthly, except for the months where we have general meetings. We do the business of the local. We discuss budgets, training, day-to-day. Phil, you sit there with me now, too. We get to see each other quite often, but it's important to get involved. This is, you know, the members' union, and by getting involved, it's been, you know, here I am. How many years later? Mm-hmm. 20 years later, and I think I've been involved in the union for 19 of those years.
So you're pretty passionate about serving the membership.
I say that one of my love languages is definitely helping people, and that helps me every day. If I'm in a position that I can't give back, it's not for me.
And you've seen incredible change over your 20 years.
Lots has changed over 20 years.
And how does that complicate your life? I mean, I know that you work incredibly long hours, and there's unique challenges all the time, but are you seeing different issues with the collective agreement coming out because of people the rapid growth, or is it?
You know, up until recently with the rapid growth, the reason we had it was because we were so booming. We had so many shows. And as you are aware, currently right now, we are still in contract bargaining. And so we are probably slowing down in productions. We have more members. So the questions are happening, like, I've been sitting at home since February. Why aren't I working? Well, these people have been involved in the industry for years and have never experienced this. Phil, when you and I started, we had those ups and flows, right? Yeah. If you weren't working in October, you knew you weren't going to be working till February, March. You need to definitely save because you never know when you're going to be working. A lot of members right now haven't experienced that, where that was the norm for us. I think the hardest for the members currently right now, on their journey to become a member, they were released from the production because members were available. So now they're asking the same thing.
You're talking about the newer members.
The newer members.
Who haven't experienced those ups and downs of cyclical production that we go through.
Per the collective agreement, when you're laying off, you need to lay off non-members before members in the same classification. There is some concerns that non-members are working and members are being laid off. But with the growth of our membership, you might not know that they are members. So that's a thing that we need to keep in mind.
So this is really interesting. Just kind of getting a snapshot day in the life of the senior steward. Can you give us kind of what that might be, a little peek behind the scenes?
Every day is definitely different. No day is the same. I literally have to schedule meetings in my calendar to get work done so it's not taken up by something. I find that some days I'm like, great, maybe I can take tomorrow off. And then all of a sudden I have 7 labor relations issues and calls I need to make, or we have crew calling because they're encroaching the 9-hour on set. You never know.
And encroaching the 9-hour, what does that mean for someone who's listening? It has no idea about kind of the terms and conditions in our contract.
So in our contract, production, if you're working on set, you need to have a meal break after 6 hours. If it's pre-production, it's 5. But on set, if they are working 6 hours without a break, they start to get meal penalty. After up to 9 hours, and after 9 hours, we say it's a huge safety issue. Nobody should be working 9 hours without a break. And it's not just about food. It's actually a physical break from production. Sometimes production managers will say, well, we fed them, we were bringing them food, but you need to actually physically take a break. When we are working these kind of hours, it is extremely unsafe. And I tell our members all the time, we are here to do a job, but first and foremost, we need to ensure we get home safe at the end of the day. Nothing is more important than your life. So encroaching the 9 hours is a no-no, and we don't like it for multiple reasons. Some members do like it because they get paid extra money, but that is not the point of it.
Well, so, and this is just a great conversation because it just shows you when you are a part of a union, it's people like you and people like Phil and the people on the bargaining committee that are fighting for these working conditions, these strong, safe terms and conditions that, do get us home at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I wanted to actually focus a little bit on the negotiation process, because Amanda's been involved longer than I have, 5 rounds, right? You're in your 5th round.
Correct.
So can you describe how we actually do that?
From the beginning or how we do it now?
There's a process, and I don't think that our listeners probably understand or know how issues are brought forward and the various committees that review and create proposals. And
okay, so I originally started in the bargaining committee because I was the co-chair of the accounting department. So we tell all of our members, you have concerns about the contract, you have ideas, go to a departmental meeting, bring it forward, talk about it, vote on it. And when I say vote on it, it's to vote to bring it to the bargaining committee. So the makes of the bargaining committee over the rounds have been different. It all depends on the president at the time. But basically, you have representatives from the departments, subject matter experts. We go through all of the stuff that has come through either through the general membership meetings, the departmental meetings, the surveys that your department sends out. We bring all of that stuff to the committee. And when the committee is really big, it's usually, you know, 40 to 50 people. We do pare it down afterwards as we get closer and closer. But we look at thousands and thousands of responses and concerns. We also look at all of the grievances and arbitrations and the complaints and the anonymous emails or voicemails that have come through to the union. And we tried to see what matters to the members and where we can make improvements.
So then the initial is a proposal list that's put together by a certain committee. And then we go down to a core bargaining committee generally. And then we lock horns with Hollywood, with producers in Hollywood. And attempt to find ways to protect the rights that the members currently have and not allow further encroachments on their rights, but expand the terms and conditions to make them more favorable.
It is such a group sort of strength, you know, when we talk about elected positions in the union and the activities that we do that a lot of members don't really fully understand or grasp. And you guys are there on the front lines fighting for 10,000 members. And I just want everyone to be clear who might be listening that 5 rounds of bargaining is actually 15 years, right?
Yeah.
That's you going to the table, dealing with these issues for 15 years. I mean, it's the labor movement, right? It's the lift one, lift all. And
I was going to say for 15 rounds, we've been fighting the same battles. There's places where we have not been able to make any advancement, but we've kept fighting, right?
Absolutely. Mileage has been the same since 1996, I believe. And that's when my first child was born. So I believe that's correct. Per diem hasn't changed. Meal penalty hasn't changed. We have moved, you know, the boundaries a little bit for the shooting zone, but we are not in the business of eroding the terms and conditions for our members. We, as a bargaining committee and the leadership of the union, are working extremely hard together. Sometimes we do not agree on the same thing, but we are united. We are all there because we want the best deal possible for our members.
You touched on the structure of the BCCFU. And I think our listeners may not understand or know much about the way that film and television unions work together in BC. And you're integral to that because every week we have a council meeting. You describe the makeup and what you bring to that as a senior steward?
The BCCFU is the British Columbia Council of Film Unions. It is made up of Teamsters 155, ICG 669, and IATSE 891. We meet, yes, every week, sometimes more than that. Over the last year, we have met several times, but it is based on the three unions. We have a chair. Every union brings forward any kind of production issues. Each union has one vote. Even though we are the biggest local, we only have one vote. The president is the voting member. So as the senior steward, I bring forward any issues that I might have on the floor, any grievances, payroll, outstanding payrolls when it comes to bonds. Members will contact us to say, hey, this was in my start pack. If it affects the other unions, we bring them forward. We try to work together. There's no reason three different locals should be contacting a production if it's affecting all of us.
So at that table, we deal with variance requests where people are seeking to like move a holiday, let's say, or if they know that they're going to shoot, 12 hours to talk about like how they're going to deal with it, that sort of thing.
Yeah, just this week I got a phone call from a production manager. They're wanting to do Pacific Northwest hours. They're shooting out of the zone. Normally, if it was just a little bit out of the zone, they could do it. But this time they were in Whistler. They were wondering how that would work. We are there to help facilitate the project and let them know what would work under the terms and conditions.
Right. For anyone that doesn't know, can you describe the difference between regular film hours and Pacific Northwest hours?
Pacific Northwest hours, for those members that are listening that have been around just as long as I have or longer, we used to refer to them as French hours. But Pacific Northwest hours is where you do not physically take a lunch break. They serve food continuously. And it is 11 up to 11 hours. The first hour is free from work, and then you can work 10 hours, and they're supposed to be done.
And normally that's when you're either shooting on a mountaintop and you can't get readily down to have a meal, or you have to, use every single drop of daylight that's correct. Out there, that kind of thing, right? I want to circle back to your accounting career for a moment here. So can you tell us if there's any sort of standout memories you have from any of the amazing shows that you've worked on? Because you've worked on some pretty big shows with some pretty fantastic talent.
I got two stories, actually, Crystal. I was working on Walking Tall, and The Rock, was a famous wrestler. My oldest son loved him. So did my husband.
Played for the Stampeders for a while.
I know. He loves football. The Rock came in. We were working on Walking Tall. I was helping out. It wasn't a show that I was assistant because I was pregnant. They needed some help. I wasn't working. I'm like, yeah, I'll go in and clerk. I'll just go and data entry, no stress. And the rest of the team in the accounting department's like, who's The Rock? I'm like, don't you smell what The Rock is cooking? But they were like, what? So they didn't know who he was. When he came in to get his per diem from the office, we started talking. Later on in the production, he actually invited my husband, my son, and I to go and have a picnic with him and with his family at his home. So my kids have signed autographs, spent the afternoon with The Rock. It was fantastic. And I, as years go on and get involved, The Rock is extremely, as you said, Crystal, used to play football, is extremely supportive in community football and local football, and he has done a lot of great things for us, and we reach out, and he sometimes sends us little tweets to give to the kids on the field, so it's been fantastic.
So you're the cool mom on the block, clearly.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm the strict mom on the block, that's for sure. The other really... I think was great. Halle Berry working Victoria in the summer, was working over there for a couple weeks. Again, was pregnant with my youngest child. And it was a Friday afternoon, again, going to give per diem. It was actually Halle Berry's birthday. So we had to wait to hand out per diem, and my husband and son and daughter were on set, and they got to meet Halle Berry. And Halle was to my oldest son, Austin, who is also now a member of our union, but doesn't work here, says, would you like a piece of birthday cake? And my son's like, no, because he didn't know who she was. There's my husband standing there, and I swear to God, he's like kicking him. You can't say no to Halle Berry. You gotta have Halle's birthday cake.
It just occurred to me that there are people listening who probably don't know what per diem is.
Per diem is the money that we all love to get. It is the funds that, per our collective agreement, we get when we're shooting outside of the zone. $65 a day. Some productions do deduct for the meals they provide, and double per diem on the weekend when you are not working.
So it's intended to actually allow you to buy food, right? When you're away from home.
Away from home, yeah. Not just food, but expendables. Yeah. You know, we have to go and do our laundry at the laundromat.
And I feel like we have to also now address the word the zone, because we need like a film to English dictionary here for this conversation. There's so much film lingo in this industry that you learn over the years, but explain to us what the zone is in BC.
The zone is Sunset Marina in Lions Bay, and it kind of goes around the cities and to 200th, and it digs down to the border. The zone is the Vancouver zone. So if you're shooting within them, they don't have to pay you travel. So that is the area that would be our working zone for the day. They can have additional zones. If they're shooting in Pemberton, it would be based around the,
They would do around the City Hall. So it's like 30 minutes from City Hall.
So we're known for having some of the best crews around in this industry, and you talk to crew members every day. So tell us why you think we have this reputation.
I think British Columbia 891 members are one of the best crews in the world because of our experience, our willingness, our compassion, our fight, our thrive. We want to do the best job. We have members that built this union up from the bottom. They are still giving back. They want to do the best job. We work as a team. We go in, we give it 110%, and we take pride in our work.
Great answer. That makes my job so much easier. What would be the one piece of advice you would give to somebody looking to get into the film and television industry?
If you want it, it will happen. Be patient, educate yourself, get extra skills, show up, be ready to work. And when I say show up and be ready to work, you need to be able, capable, physically, mentally, all in, and just know that someone's going to tell you a different way to do it. Take it in. Because what might have worked on your other production or your other job is going to be completely different. Open your arms, open your mind, and go for it. I love working in this industry, and I can't imagine not being in this industry.
Well, I can't imagine a better way to end the podcast. Yeah. That Amanda. Was a fantastic answer, Amanda. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for your dedication over the last 20 years to our union and to the membership and to just always lifting people up around you.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here for the members, and I will continue to do everything I can.
Well, thanks again for your time today, Amanda. It was really great to get a glimpse into the accounting office and to find out how hard our senior steward works for the members. And I guess that's it for another Apple Box Talks.
For more episodes and to get your career rolling in the film and television industry, check out ourwork.ca.